Luke 16. We'll begin reading with verse number 19. We come into this text. Somebody said chapter number 14, we see earth's madness. You see that God was trying to call some people to come and dine. Some of them want to come to be with him, come to a great supper. And some said, I'm too big. Some said, I'm too busy. And some said, I'm too blessed. Come to chapter number 15, and we see heaven's gladness. Amen. There was a young man that left home and came back to his father's house. Amen. But in Luke 16, we see hell's sadness. Look at verse number 19. And the Bible says, and there was a certain man which was clothed in purple, fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar by the name of Lazarus. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gates full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. More of the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass. I'm not trying to change the word of God, but as time goes, things come to pass. Life comes to an end. It's appointed a man wants to die, and after this, the judgment. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Oh, what a blessing. Now, I'm just going to stop right here. I want to say something very simple. The beggar did not go to heaven because he was poor. The beggar went to heaven because he had put his faith in that Old Testament system, if it would be in this day, taking a sacrifice, going and believing in a coming king, a coming Lord, the Messiah. And he believed that the Lord would come one day. The Bible says the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Again, I want to say, because I don't want the devil to deceive you this morning, the rich man did not go to hell because he was rich. He went to hell because he heard the same messages, he heard the same priest, he heard the same one speak about a coming Messiah, a coming Lord. And he just didn't have time for that. He didn't trust in that. He didn't put his faith in that. And may I say that's the same reason today for those that may sit in my midst, they're not saved. You'll not go to hell because you're rich or because you're poor. You go to hell because you rejected the sweet Spirit of God convicting you. In the Old Testament, they looked towards Calvary. But now you and I have already seen the full picture of Calvary. Brother Carver, we're looking back now. Brother Jeff, we're looking back to a Savior that has came, lived, and died. Was put on an old rugged cross and bore our sins. God made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might have the righteousness of God in him. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. Jesus says, I am the door. If any man enter in, I tell you, he's the door. He's the way. He's the truth. The Bible says, if you confess your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The only reason you will not be saved, sir, the only reason you will not be saved this morning, ma'am, is because you refuse the love of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God, and the truth of God in this Bible. All I know is as the absence here that I see, the Bible says the angels came. When the rich man died without the Lord, they said he was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Again, we're in Old Testament text, really, I mean, time-wise, in the dispensation, if you will. And he says this, and seeing Abraham afar off. You say, how did he see Abraham afar off? Well, we have to go back to the Old Testament time. And there was a hell being in the heart of the earth. And then there was a place called paradise where Abraham was. And all those old Jewish, all the old Jewish people, Old Testament saints that died before Calvary, and they're in this place of paradise.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
And evidently, whether this was an unusual case, I don't know, but evidently, I don't believe it was, but evidently they could see from one area to the other. Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom, being likened unto being with the presence of God, having the peace of God, being staying there in that paradise. Now, you know, after Jesus Christ was resurrected, what happened? This inner place, this paradise, went to be the third into the third heavens, into the very presence of God. That's what the Bible teaches us. But at this time, the rich man can look over and see into paradise. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember, thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then the rich man says, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, the rich man said, he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. He said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Let's go, Lord, in prayer to Heavenly Father. Oh, God, I need you, God. God, I need you to lower heaven today and make it sweeter than it's ever been. God, I need you to lift up hell just a little bit so we might feel the heat. Oh, God, on our feet today. I pray, God, for conviction to come upon this place. I pray for hearts to be touched. I pray for that one that may be lost, God. I want them to know that we love them and you love them. God, help me to speak the truth in love. God, I pray, Father, for us, it's saints, it's headed to heaven. Oh, God, may we take just a moment and look around us. Realize there's a multitude of friends, kin folks, loved ones, that one day is going to feel the flame that this rich man felt. I pray, God, you'd help us. I pray, God, now you'd anoint us and fill us with your power. You preach through us and preach in us and preach the word of God in the spirit of God in power. God, may you hold back all the hindrance of Satan and the hindrance of those that will get their minds on other things. I pray, God, for your power, for your grace. for your mercy. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, I've brought your attention this morning, drawn your attention to a very familiar scripture. Very familiar text this morning. It's also a very sad text. I can't tell you I'm really happy about preaching what I'm preaching about this morning, because I'm going to be honest with you, as I read these verses, I think about people that I know. Not just this certain rich man, but people that I know, Brother Stringer, that I know that have departed this world, that I've witnessed to, that I've talked to, Brother David, Brother Hub. I've tried to get them to see the need of being saved. Yet, it finally came to pass that they died. And they left this world unprepared to meet God. I know the text is believed by some and doubted by many. A lot of people have no trouble believing in heaven. Have no trouble believing about how they're going to get there and why they're going to go. In many ways, boy, people have a real problem about this place called hell. But just as true as this word of God teaches about a Jesus that came from heaven, it teaches about sinners that go to hell. There's a destiny for the, is an eternal destiny for man. There's an eternal place that you and I are going to live, either heaven or hell. And as I come to this text, I want to preach on these thoughts. Things you'll not find in hell. Some things that you will not find in hell. Can I say the very first thing you'll find out in our text that you'll not find in hell? There'll be no peace in hell. Look at verse number 23. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Oh, in hell will be no place of peace or rest. There'll be no peace in hell. We find in Isaiah 57, verse number 21, it says, there is no peace, saith God, to the wicked. There'll be no peace to the wicked on this earth, and there'll be no peace to the wicked when they leave this earth. The Bible says here that he found himself in a flame. He found himself in torment. Many Bible believers believe, and I can't say for sure, but I do know this, that there is a flame in hell. But some says everyone will have their individual flame. I don't know. But I don't matter whether it's an individual flame or it's accumulation of us, a flame that everybody falls into, matters not. It'll be a place of torment. It'll be a place of no peace whatsoever. It'll be a place of no rest whatsoever. Matter of fact, as wonderful as heaven is and as wonderful as we can think and imagine about heaven, we cannot imagine all that there is about heaven, then I want to tell you, man cannot imagine all there is about hell. Amen. But all we do know, the Bible teaches us there is a heaven, and Lazarus was the one that was able to go to the paradise and then enter into the third heaven later on and to be able to be in the presence of God. And we know that there are a place called hell, a place where men and women and boys and girls go that rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a place of torment, a place of no peace. The Bible says immediately he lifted up his eyes. He lifted up, and well, we can see that man can see in hell. Man can feel in hell. Man can remember in hell. He remembers, I'm telling you, there's a lot of things about this is so sad. All the things that he could do, but he could not find any peace. The Bible says he was in torment. The Bible tells us, and boy, isn't it awful to realize that this torment is still going on today. There's no peace found in hell. There's no joy found in hell. Hell will not be any place to rejoice in. Look at verse number 25. But Abraham said, son, remember thy life, thou receiveth the good things. There's no good things in hell. There's no joy found in hell. Look at verse number 24. The Bible said, and he cried, saying, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. There's nothing to rejoice about in hell. Matter of fact, he's asking for just a little bit of water. We'll mention in just a minute. But there's no joy whatsoever. There's no rejoicing. You know, there's people that likes to make light of hell today. They like to make light of it and say, well, you know, all my buddies are going to hell and we'll just have a party down there. There'll be no party in hell. There'll be no rejoicing. There'll be nothing to praise about. There'll be nothing to shout about. There'll be nothing to... It is a place of torment. It's a place where the worm dieth not. It's a place where agony. It's a place of outer darkness. Have you ever went out at night and looked up at the stars? And behind the stars, you see that darkness? That's what I picture outer darkness is. I guess the closest I've ever been to being in a pitch black place was when we went to Ruby Falls and they turned out all natural light there. And actually, even when they did that, they did have just a little bit of natural light still on just a little bit. But I'm telling you, it was so dark. I mean, I believe Aaron was beside of me and Deborah. And I mean, they were standing right there. I actually could not see them at all when the natural lights went out. I mean, I couldn't see a movement. I couldn't see a dark. I couldn't see nothing. I mean, that's the closest I've ever been to absolute darkness. That's the way hell's going to be. It's going to be a place of darkness. There'll be no joy there. There'll be no rejoicing. May I say another thing that you'll find that's not in hell? There'll be no comfort in hell.
Yeah, amen.
He said, there was a time in verse 125 that thou was comforted. There was a time that you was a rich man and you have the ease of this world. And I wonder why God used a rich man and a poor man. Because he had to know that there would be a very, very, be a great argument put up about this.
Yeah.
Why couldn't he just use two poor men? And we knew and have the argument about those rich goes to hell and those that are not rich, you know, that are poor, they get to go to heaven, the common folks or whatever you want to say. But that's just Satan trying to pull us away, lure us away from the real truths here. Why did he use a rich man? Because I believe one reason he might have used a rich man because the rich man knew what comfort was. He knew what it was to have servants to serve him. He knew what it was to have somebody, of course they didn't have AC in that day, but he had somebody to fan them. He knew what it was to have the luxuries of this life, to have the ease of this living, this world had to offer. And he had indulged in, and he had been able to attain to the things of this world. And he'd had the things and the trinkets of this world had to offer. And what was they in comparison to this place called hell? Because those trinkets and those little things that he could buy with the funds that he had been blessed with are now gone away, Brother Derek. Brother Donald, now they're no longer. They no longer can comfort him. They no longer can help him. And he feels what it is now to be totally neglected and totally deprived and totally away from all the pleasures of the world. And so... he knew what it was to have comfort. Now he realized what it is to be comfortless, without any comfort whatsoever, no comfort whatsoever, and never would he ever find any. I mean, he's just asking. We see that there's another thing that's not in hell. There's no water found in hell. He said, I just want you to take your finger. Just have Lazarus take his finger. Now, if I was thirsty, I'd want a whole drink of water, wouldn't you? But say, he's past thirst. Thirst is not even in his thinking. You know what he's wanting, sir? He's wanting just a second, just a moment, and just a second of relief. That's what he's wanting. Just a moment, just a second worth of just some kind of relief from what he's suffering in hell. Now, the only thing I can compare that kind of pain to, and I'm being personal here, but how many has ever had a kidney stone? Amen. Now, my wife, she's down in the nursery, and probably a good thing she is. Y'all probably want to look at her right now while I'm saying all this. But I'm pretty much like a lot of men. I just don't like pain. But I think I can handle pain pretty good, amen. I think I can handle it pretty good. I know, and so that's when my wife will be really laughing right now. Yeah. But I think I can handle it pretty good. But I do know this. I woke up, I had some pains in the back of my back, just a little bit here and there. And, you know, just something that just felt like a sharp pain, and just go away. But I woke up, and I had a pain. I don't remember if it was in the morning or afternoon. I forget now, but I do this. I knew one time I said, we got to go to the doctor. I've got to get some relief. And so we went to the doctor, got our doctor's appointment, and they get me back in that room. And as nicely and as Christian as I could say it, I told my wife, you're going to go get the doctor. And you need to find the doctor nurse and tell them I need them now. Because I wasn't on the little bed. I wasn't on the little thing he sat on. And I was in the floor, crunched down. And finally they came in, decided what I had, gave me some medicine. And thank God, it didn't make the pain go away, but it sure did make it where it's bearable. All I wanted was just some relief. That's what he wanted. Hey, anybody in the right mind that was thirsty would ask for a drink of water.
Yeah.
Anybody that was thirsty would just want a drink of water. But he wanted one little tip of some water on somebody's fingertip just to ease for just a moment. If he could get just a second of comfort, relief. That's a place called hell. You don't find any water in hell. Our body desires water. Our body has to have water. I know that. I don't know how what exactly kind of body that they'll have in hell. I'm not as spiritual as some people. Some people have got it all figured out. But I do know this. They'll have a body in hell. I do know that. I've already told you. It can see, it can hear, and it can remember. And it also knows what it needs to get a real relief. And I tell you, there's another thing you won't find in hell. There's no mercy in hell. Verse number 24, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. There's no mercy in hell. See, some people would say, and even men of esteem would say, I really can't believe there's a hell because I just don't believe God would send people to such an awful place. And God is such a merciful and gracious and kind and tender-hearted God. No, you're exactly right. That's what kind of God we've got. That's what God is. He's tender, but he's tender-hearted. He's loving. He's merciful. He's kind.
Yeah.
That's why he sent his son.
Yeah.
And Jesus, being likened to his heavenly Father, we could say the same thing about him. That's why he gave his life.
Yeah.
And we could say the same thing about the person of the Holy Spirit. That's why he convicts people. That's why we've got a word of God. Why the truth has been revealed. That's why the gospel's going out. Good news that what? Jesus saves.
Amen.
But just as kind and loving is the same amount of just as loving it is just as he is. And just as Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross took my hell for me, took my death, took my pain, it's been paid for, paid in full. If you reject that gift, if you reject that payment, guess what? You're going to have to pay. So he tasted death for every man. The wages of sin is death. He tasted that death. He gave his life, which you and I wouldn't have to have that second death. You and I wouldn't have to die and go to hell. We wouldn't have to suffer the pain, the separation from God. He was separated from God for us. Remember, God turned his back, could not look upon his son.
Yeah.
Darkness fell upon the earth for 3 hours.
Yeah.
The payment was made, but since you have received that payment, you and I don't have to go to hell. But for that one that will not receive, for that one that will not believe, for that one that will not trust, for that one that will reject God, Now, I didn't say to believe there's a God. I'm talking about believing in the sacrificial lamb. I'm talking about believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about putting your faith, if we confess our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in the heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with Jesus. I'm not talking about joining the church. I'm not talking about being baptized. I'm not talking about being religious.
No. Yeah.
I'm talking about knowing Jesus, him living in your heart, having evidence. The Spirit of God bears witness with your spirit that you are a child of the King. You're a child of God.
Yeah.
But as many of you see them, them gave them power to become the sons of God. To me, they believe on his name. Have you believed upon him? Have you put your faith and your trust upon him? If not, you're going to a place where there'll be no more mercy. There'll be no more grace. There'll be total separation from God. Total separation from God. I don't know if you realize it or not, but you know why this world is as in good shape as it is right now? Because of the church of the living God. Because of the love and mercy of our Heavenly Father.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. One of the missionaries went to New Guinea years back. He came back off the field after being there 40 years. And he began to tell how that God had allowed him to build a church there, get a congregation, people get saved, baptized, become part of that church. And somebody was talking with him, and they said, well, said, how'd you do that? He said, well, I'm telling you, just preach the Word of God, just keep preaching the Word of God. He said, I preach the Word of God, of course, but he said, no, that's not how I want them. He said, when I went to these people in Papua New Guinea, they was without remorse. They was without love. They was without understanding of how you're supposed to care for one another. They didn't have any understanding about humanity ways, if you will, ethics. They said if they take a baby, that baby would get sick when it was crying. I mean, when it's little and it'd cry, and it'd keep crying, and they couldn't stop from crying. They'd just take the baby and go take it outside and throw it away. Something's wrong with it. See, you know the only reason you and I even know what love is? We love him because he first loved us.
That's right.
So you don't understand, if we'd go back in the dark places where the gospel's not been revealed, then people live terrible, terrible lives and do terrible, terrible things because they've not been exposed to what we've been exposed to. He said they would go out and work in the woods, and a son or a father would cut his leg. They just leave him. They didn't know to care for one another. They didn't know to help one another. He said, they just leave them out there. And said, many times they'd die if they couldn't make it back themselves. He said, you know what I started doing? He said, moms would take those babies and throw them away in this castaway. He said, I'd go get them and start to tend to them and give them the little bit of a medicine I had and the very little knowledge I had, and I'd help. And when they would get better, I'd take them back to them and give them back their child. He said, I started going out into the woods and getting those that was hurt. They said somebody got hurt. I'd go get them and I'd help them get better. He said, what started happening? People started coming to my hut and saying, why'd you get that baby? Why'd you go help that man?
Yeah.
He said, I'll tell you why. There's a man called Jesus.
Amen.
That cares and that loves. Has compassion upon this world, has compassion on people. And he began to teach them about the compassionateness of the Lord. Guess what? That's when they begin to get saved.
Yeah.
That's why he started building a church. But you're going to go to a place that no longer has or knows of that. A place called hell. Can I tell you there was a prayer made to Father Abraham? I believe we could liken that he was praying to God, but to stay with my text, a prayer that could not be answered. So there's no answered prayers in hell. There's no hope in hell. He had a prayer. Abraham, I have five brethren. So he remembered he had a family. He remembered his kin folks. I'm afraid one of the greatest punishments of hell. I believe one of the greatest punishments of hell with this is remembering. To sit and remember a pesky little old preacher by the name of Tim McCulley stand up here and preach the gospel. Not one time, but time and time again. Yeah. And to remember, I knew I needed to go. And because of this, or because I thought what that person would think, or because my pride, or because of something within me, now I'm in this place forever. You know, I've had some other people to do some things to me and be upset with what they've done, and you get upset about that. But you know who I get upset at most? I get upset when I do something to myself. When I do it to me, I can't blame nobody else but me. And that's when I get so upset. Can you imagine how many people's upset that they sat in a church service, they heard a gospel message, and they refused salvation. And they opened up their eyes in hell. There's no answered prayers. There's no escaping of hell. Look what he says. Now, I've always wondered about this, verse number 26. Besides all this, between you and there is a great gulf fixed. So they which would pass from hence to you cannot. And I thought, who in the world? Sister, you come on. Who in the world would want to go from paradise into hell? But I got to thinking. Got to thinking about a mom that would look through that glazy guff and see a son, or see a little blonde-headed girl that's past the age of accountability, has died and went to hell. And I could just feel the heart tug of that mom, the heart tug of that dad. They would probably want to leave that place and go and get that one and bring them back over to their place if they could. But there's no escape in hell. No escape in hell at all. No hope. See, hell's for all eternity. Now, I know my Bible. There will be a time that hell will be lifted up at the judgment, at the great white throne judgment. And I believe there'll be a little bit of time of relief for them, maybe. And they're going to stand, if you could call it relief, to stand before an almighty God that you rejected. Almighty God that sent his son to love you and to give his life for you, and you've rejected that love that you heard about and you knew about. See, you know what's going to be sad? It's for those that gets before the Lord and said, Lord, haven't we cast out devil in thy name? Haven't we done many mighty works tonight? That's sad. Because they're deceived. It's like the little lady, had a little baby with her, and she was riding back in the time when they traveled on trains. And she was very nervous. She had somebody who was going to meet her at the train station, and she was very nervous, carrying the baby. And she kept on asking the conductor to come through, now, my stop. And she'd tell what that certain stop is. She said, that's my stop. And it's storming outside, and it's snowing, and it's a blizzard. But there's somebody there waiting on me to protect me and my baby and going to take us to a shelter. They make sure I get my stop. And she'd call the stop. There was a businessman that was sitting there. They stopped at this place, and he knew the next stop was the place that she was supposed to stop at. The conductor didn't come by. The train stopped. The conductor didn't come by. So the businessman said, hey, ma'am, said, I travel this train all the time. Said, I don't know what's wrong with the conductor, but this is your stop. She got her stuff together, got her little baby, and wrapped it up, and stepped out off that train. The train takes off. The conductor walks by after he was doing his work. He said, where's the lady at? And she said, I don't know. And the businessman said, I don't know, but I don't know what's wrong with you, but said, that was her stop back there. He said, you're crazy. We stopped to get water. They backed that train up. Men grabbed arms in that snow and tried to find her. In less than an hour, they found her, her and a baby, both frozen to death, dead. You know what she was? She was a victim of bad information. There's going to be a lot of people victim of bad information. What about going to hell after hearing the truth? Right. Not a victim of bad information. I mean, after knowing that there's a place called hell, knowing that there's a place and people are in hell, knowing they're going to stay there for all eternity, and I know hell's going to be come out and it's going to be cast in the lake of fire, which is just going to be like hell all over again. No hope, no escape. But I'll tell you what's sad here. He's got five brethren. He knows they're headed in the same direction. And he has compassion for five brethren. He has compassion for his family. He's crying for somebody to go. And we've got a multitude of people sitting right here. You've had all last week. You didn't even share what you've got. You didn't share what you have. You didn't tell nobody about the Lord. You didn't give nobody a track. Matter of fact, we may not even be burdened for somebody. This man was burdened. Yeah. We're standing, our heads are bowed.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to become your sons and your daughters. Yeah. God, when we deserve it for nothing, you've completed the work. You've done everything for us. And God, all we have to do is accept it by faith. But God, with that comes the responsibility of telling those who've never heard. God, may it not just be something that Philadelphia Baptist Church does to give money so missionaries can go all over the world. May you put that burden on our shoulders. That we would take it to our neighbors, our friends, our co-workers. God, we thank you for working it amongst us this morning. But God, I pray you'd help us to take it as we go. Lord, you desire to use us just as much as you use a church service to work in the lives and hearts of other people. God, I pray you'd help us to be faithful to that. Lord, bring us back each person here this evening for tonight's service. Give us a restful afternoon. But God, we pray that you'd meet and draw each person back with us again tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.